We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Verse 40, Creation of the Universal Form. Yato prapya nyavartanta,
yato prapya nyavartanta,
vachascha manasa saha, aham chanya ime devas, Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha.
Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha.
Chant. Yataha. From whom? Aprapya.
Being unable to measure.
Nyavartanta. Cease to try. Vachaha. Words. Cha. Also, manasa, with the mind, saha, with, aham cha, also the ego, anye, other, ime, all these, devaha, demigods, tasmai, unto him. Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead. Namaha, offer obeisances. Translation. Words, mind, and ego, with their respective controlling demigods, have failed to achieve success in knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we simply have to offer our respectful obeisances unto him as a matter of sanity. Purport. The froggish calculator may raise the objection that if the Absolute is unknowable even by the controlling deities of speech, mind, and ego, namely the Vedas, Brahma, Rudra, and all the demigods headed by Brihaspati, then why should the devotees be so interested in this unknown object? The answer is that the transcendental ecstasy enjoyed by the devotees in delineating pastimes of the Lord is certainly unknown to non-devotees and mental speculators. Unless one relishes transcendental joy, naturally one will come back from his speculations and concocted conclusions, because he will see them as neither factual nor enjoyable. The devotees can at least know that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, as the Vedic hymns confirm. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Surayah. Bhagavad Gita 15:15 also confirms this fact. Vidaischa Savairahameva Vedya. By culture of Vedic knowledge, one must know Lord Krishna and should not falsely speculate on the word aham or I. The only method for understanding the Supreme Truth is devotional service, stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yascha smitatvataha. Only by devotional service can one know the ultimate truth is the personality of Godhead, and that Brahman and Paramatma are only his partial features. This is confirmed in this verse by the great sage Maitreya. With devotion, he offers a sincere surrender, namaha, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavate. One has to follow in the footsteps of great sages and devotees like Maitreya and Vidura, Maharaj Pariksit and Shukadev Goswami, and engage in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord if one would know his ultimate feature, which is above Brahman and Paramatma. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam lankate grim yaki pantam ham bande shigurum tinitavinam. Om agana timirana syaganjana shalakaya chakshuritam yena tasamai shigurave namaha. So here he is saying that we can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we should just offer our obeisances. And Prabhupada has added a little phrase, as a matter of sanity. So those who are sane will offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord, and those who are insane will say there is no God. And they will try to figure out with their words, their mind, their ego, speculate, who is God? Is there a God? But the devotees are sane, and the devotees are enjoying hearing about Krishna. They're enjoying the pastimes, and they're enjoying Krishna consciousness, Harinam Sankirtan. And this is missing in the life of the non-devotees, the speculators. They don't get the pleasure, the higher pleasure, the higher taste, the higher pleasure that the devotees get. And so here it talks about how to understand the Lord, how to know something, and that is by devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, what purport of the last verse of chapter 2, Śrīla Prabhupāda says, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Two things. We have to understand Krishna and we have to accept the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how to understand? Here it says devotional service. So how do we begin? And here also it says, one has to follow in the footsteps of the great sages and devotees like Maitreya, Vidura, Parikshit, Shukadev. So what do these devotees have in common? They have all seen the truth. They have seen Krishna. All of them. Maitreya, he saw Krishna. Vidura, he was the uncle, or he was a relative of Krishna, like an elder person. And Parikshit, he saw Krishna in the womb. And Shukadev, he also saw Krishna. So they all have this in common. And this is what Krishna says in Gita. You should try to approach a guru. He has seen Krishna. He has seen the truth. Of course, people may ask, have we seen the truth? We have seen Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada has seen the truth. And here you can also see Krishna. You just have to open your eyes. Krishna appears in two forms in this age of Kali. That is, in the form of the holy name and in the form of the deity. Of course, he also appears in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he appears in Bhagavad Gita. But there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says these two forms, Nama Rupa and the form, Bhagavata Rupa, the form of the deity. So we're very fortunate to have these two forms. And also we have Srila Prabhupada, who has Krishna in his heart and who has Vrindavan in his heart. And he has brought Vrindavan here to Melbourne Temple. Just because Srila Prabhupada has come, and he also brought Radha Krishna, and the small deities, I believe. No, that was Chitralekha, I guess. Anyway, he manifested this temple and these deities for all of us to enjoy. We can enjoy being servants here. We cannot enjoy being Krishna over here. He's the Supreme. But actually, there is pleasure in being the servant. And everyone in this world is missing that because they're trying to be the master. And there's no pleasure in trying to pretend to be something you're not. We're not the master, we're the servant. So if we actually act according to our nature, then we'll be happy. So we're all servant. And in Bhagavad Gita, it says you should approach the guru, inquire from him submissively, and render service to him. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Yes. Has anybody here found difficulties in the path of spiritual realization? Of course, if you're on the Harinam party, it might be easier. I remember when we were on Harinam in the early days, there was no problem, no difficulties. We were just chanting Hare Krishna, very simple life, eating prasadam, and everything was blissful. So it's difficult, therefore the Lord advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession. So he can give the message of the Lord as it is. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. No one can understand Krishna if he has pretension. We discussed that in our seminar here last time we were here, that someone who has false prestige, he's a pretender. He's pretending to be something that he's not. So they cannot give the message of the Lord as it is. So Srila Prabhupada, he had so much humility. Whenever somebody would praise him, he would say, yes, this is the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You are all sent to me by my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, to help me. Prabhupada would not take the credit for anything he did. He told us one time he was in London with his disciples, and one disciple was there, his name was Bajahari. Bajahari told Srila Prabhupada, you know, I worked in the factory. It was a steel factory, and they had, you know, flowing rivers of molten steel, molten iron, flowing in the factory. It was like hell, very much like hell, he said, the descriptions of hell. And he said after 2 weeks, he had a nervous breakdown. He couldn't do it. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because in your last life, you were all Brahmins, and now we're here together again. So, yes, Prabhupada gave that credit to us, and we can also give that credit to you, that you were all Brahmins in your last life, and now here we are together again. So Prabhupada, he did say, he took credit for one thing. Does anybody know what did he take credit for? Yes. As it is. Very good. As it is. He presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. He didn't change it. And this knowledge, these books are so powerful that even people from other religions are appreciating Prabhupada's books. There was one Vyasa Puja a few years ago. One of my godbrothers, I believe it's His Holiness Jayadeva Swami, he was telling, he was watching on TV a very popular Christian preacher who was preaching to millions of people, millions and millions. So it sounded very similar to what Srila Prabhupada was saying. You have to do pure devotional service without motivation, no material desires, serve the Lord purely. And then they took a close-up of, he had a book in his hand, right? Canto 1, Part 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada. And he had it underlined different parts. So these books have the real knowledge. And those who are sincere devotees of the Lord will appreciate these books. It doesn't matter what you are, what religion you are. And I understood that too. When I saw these books, I said, wow, this is, you know, what Jesus didn't tell us. So many things he said, I cannot tell you, because the people he preached to were nomads. And, you know, they were kind of not the highest class people. But now we have the modern sophisticated people who want to know why. They want to know, okay, how did God create? How did he do it? And so all these questions are answered in Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam if we read them carefully. But we need the help of Srila Prabhupada. Here it says, not by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. I had one friend who joined, but this person had never met the devotees. He got Prabhupada's book, and so he was reading Bhagavad Gita and offering, chanting Hare Krishna, offering his food. And he would offer his food to the picture of Krishna, and then he'd throw it out the window. Because he thought, well, you know, he must have eaten it, so let's not be here. And he just would offer and throw. After 2 years, he came to the temple, and the first thing devotee said, how would you like to eat some Mahaprasad, this food offered to the Lord? And he said, oh, wow. He missed the whole point, because he didn't have the sadhus, the devotees, and the spiritual master. He didn't realize that the Lord eats and keeps it there for you too. It's still there. You don't throw it out the window. So this is what happens if you try to just study without the guru? You need a guru. You need guru, sadhu, and shastra, all three. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. If you have guru without the sadhus, then sometimes you will become like a closed club or something, you know, that, oh, my guru is everything, and the rest of you forget, you know. You're devotees, of course, but don't need to serve you. So guru, sadhu, and shastra, these are the checks and balances that we have. What the guru says must be confirmed in shastra and also by the sadhus, the devotees. And whatever the sadhus say must be confirmed in shastra and by the guru. So we have this checks and balances. So therefore, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. So how to accept in full surrender and serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. But then not only service, inquiry, we must ask questions, and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. So if you want to understand more about Krishna, you have to ask questions, and you have to have a submissive mood in hearing. And here it says, unless there's submission and service, so you need all three. If you don't have submission and service, and here it says, inquiries will not be effective. Now, you may ask questions, but if you don't serve, if you're not submissive, because sometimes people ask challenging questions. You know, like one time there was this Buddhist, no, was he a Buddhist? Anyway, he was a hippie. And Prabhupada was giving the class. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, no, because you are in the way. Yes, these speculations, these people who have their own ideas, they're in the way. They get in the way of seeing God. Not only in their own way, they get in their own way, they get in other people's ways because they have their own philosophy and they try to block Krishna. They try to cover the sun with clouds. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. So they try to cover the Krishna sun with their speculations. So here Prabhupada says one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. When he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So we need to have genuine desire. Real desire, yes. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to serve the pure devotee. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So no blind following also. Yes, when you look for a guru, then you have to be careful. Don't do blind following. Blind following, Prabhupada gives the example, okay, this guru has thousands of followers, so I think he must be the best one. Of course, he was talking about the non-devotees, gurus, this such and such. Before I met Srila Prabhupada, there was one such guru. Now he left his body. He was in that generation. And then he had thousands of followers everywhere in this transcendental meditation. And so people might think, well, he's got the most, so I should follow him. Or people may think, well, he can make gold appear, or he can cure disease. And in India, a lot of people think, you know, that's the purpose of a holy person, is to go and get your disease cured, or pass your exam, or get your daughter married. These are the blessings that they want from the guru. One time, Srila Prabhupada was on a train in India with Tamal Krishna and some sannyasis. And these like very rich Indian people wanted to come inside Prabhupada's compartment and get the blessings. And the devotees were trying to block them, but somehow they got in. Guruji, please give us your blessings. And so Prabhupada was very stern with them. And he said, yes, what kind of blessings? Oh, well, my wife is sick. And they were bringing up, and Prabhupada pointed to Tamal and the other sannyasis. Here are my blessings. You be like them. You leave everything. And then they no, Swamiji, it's okay. they made a very quick exit after that. So, they don't want the blessings. And this is the real blessing, is to know Krishna and offer obeisances to Krishna, to serve the spiritual master, to get knowledge, not blind following. Absurd inquiries. What are absurd inquiries from the spiritual master? Oh, Guruji, it's been so long now, you know, I'm really getting old, and can you get me married? This is not a good question to ask the guru. And not to ask about the guru's past life also. Like when somebody, devotee, would ask Srila Prabhupada about, you know, what he did before he became spiritual master, then he said, that is not required for you to know. So one should hear submissively. Not only one should hear submissively, one must get a clear understanding in submission and service and inquiries. Three things go together. To understand Krishna, to get knowledge, submission, service, and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward a disciple. So when the student is submissive and always ready to render service, reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So wonderful purport from chapter 4, verse 34 of Bhagavad Gita, telling you how you can get knowledge, how you can understand Krishna. Three things: inquiries, submission, and service. Now in the same fourth chapter, verse 9, there is a wonderful verse, Janma Karma Chamedivyam Evam Yovita Tatvata. Chaktadeyam punarjama mam naiti mami iti sojana. That if you know, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world. So here Krishna is telling us two things we should know about him: his appearance and his activities. If you know these two things, you will not take his birth again. You will not take your birth again here. So here it says, one who can understand the truth of the appearance of the Lord is already liberated from material bondage, and he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present body. So this is, just understand Krishna's appearance. So Prabhupada explains that attitude is everything. Of course, submission is necessary to understand. And he said we should purchase a ticket to go back to Godhead in this life, and the price will be our intense desire for it. And he said, regarding this verse, he gave us a concession. Here, Krishna says, one who knows the transcendental nature, one who understands me, my birth and activities, will not take his birth. In his lecture on this verse, Prabhupada says, even if you don't understand, if you just try to understand. So this life, we can just spend our whole life trying to understand Krishna. And that will be sufficient if we genuinely try to understand. We may not understand, as the verse says today, you know, it's very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord. But if we just try to understand, Prabhupada is giving us the easy way. Try to understand. So speculation will not help us. Speculation, yes, here again. There is no alternative. One who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, it is surely in the mode of ignorance, and he will not attain salvation simply by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or interpreting Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. So this speculation will not help, as this also here it says. Speculation will not help. They will speculate their whole lives, and we will just enjoy hearing about Krishna instead of hearing the speculations of our mind. They're not very enjoyable usually. So why do these people interpret Bhagavad Gita? Why do they write books? So many books on Bhagavad Gita, tons and hundreds of books. Why do they do it? Why do they write on Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada said the reason why. Because if they write their own book, nobody will read it. But if they take Bhagavad Gita, everybody will buy Bhagavad Gita and read, because in India it's very well known. So they just take Krishna's name, they take Gita and mess it up, and then they sell the book. So that's their idea. Prabhupada gave it as it is. What's the proof that here we are, we're from the West, and we're all wearing saris and dhotis, and we're following Krishna? That's the proof that as it is. We got it. We surrendered to Krishna. We took up spiritual life. So Prabhupada said, such puff-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. There is hope for the mental speculators, the mercy of the Lord. They have to be humble too. They have to accept. So two parts, as we said, Prabhupada said in purport, you can be Krishna conscious in a second, simply a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. So if they accept the fact, then they can also get the mercy. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. So another, there's this verse in Gita, Bahunam Jamanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapudyate, that after many, many births, the Gyanis, the speculators, they will understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that Krishna is everything. Vasudeva is everything. And what does this mean after many, many births? Srila Prabhupada explained this verse in a lecture, verse 7:19 of Bhagavad Gita. What it means is, after many, many births, they'll get Shraddha. They'll get faith. That's what they get after many, many births, Shraddha. Little faith. So that's just the first level of our devotional service, Shraddha, little faith. So you come, you listen to the class. And it is further stated, yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru dasaite patita hyarta prakashante maha anaha. One who has complete faith in Guru and Krishna, for him, Krishna will reveal all knowledge. So it's a matter of faith. Of course, not blind faith, but we see, we experience. The proof is in the experience. We have experience when we chant Hare Krishna, when we read these books. We feel joy. Nityananda's appearance day, a very joyful occasion, very merciful Nityananda. Nitya Ananda, his name, is complete happiness. So if you touch Nityananda, then you can feel very happy. But these people, they cannot enjoy. They're just speculating and wasting their lives. And I think another purport of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, they renounce good food, but we eat very nicely and enjoy on our way back to Godhead. We eat prasadam, mercy of the Lord. So, very important to accept the spiritual master. I'll read a verse from 7th canto, 9th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. Evam janani patitam prabhavahi kupe kama bikama manuya papatam pasanga kitvatma sat sarashina bhagavan vihita soham katana vishijeta vabritti sevam. My dear Lord, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave this service? So this is very important. Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada calls him a Shaktivesh-avatar. He is incarnation of the remembrance, Smarnam, the nine processes of devotional service. So he was face to face with Lord Nishinadev. He was offering prayers to Lord Nishinadev. And what did he say? Okay, my Lord, here we are together. Anything I can do for you? Any service? No. He said, how can I serve my Guru? Narada Muni, please give me his service. Even though he saw the Lord face to face, he was saying, how can I forget Narada Muni? He saved me. So we may be face to face with the Lord, but when we see Krishna, we can ask him, okay, how can I serve Srila Prabhupada? How can I serve my Guru Maharaj? And actually, in last year's seminar, we discussed that it's better to be servant of the servant than to serve Krishna directly for many, many reasons. That the servant of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna. We saw Prabhupada, he's giving us a concession for understanding Krishna. He's more merciful, and many other ways he's more merciful too. He's more merciful. Krishna was very strict. Of course, Prabhupada is in the mood of Nityananda. Guru is in the mood of Nityananda, who is more merciful. But even more merciful than Nityananda was Srila Prabhupada. There was only one Jagaya Madhe, but Prabhupada got many collection of because everybody was doing what Jagaya Madhe practically. We were all Jagaya Madhe, and Prabhupada, he saved us. He picked us up. Not only he picked us up, he engaged us in the movement. We had no idea that this was a movement that was going to spread all over the world. But right in one of his first classes, devotees weren't even initiated yet, and he was saying, "So now we need thousands of spiritual masters." And he was all hippies, you know, "What, spiritual master? What, me?" They didn't even stop smoking yet, you know, and he was saying... And he was telling him, "So we require thousands to go all over the world and preach." And many, many classes, he said, "Each one of you should be guru. You tell your friends about Krishna." So he's more merciful. He who was it that said, he said that Lord Ram, he crossed the ocean with an army of monkeys. So I have my army of monkeys also. Us, we were really an army of monkeys. If you look at the old videos, especially that Happiness on Second Avenue, you can't believe, you know, what they're looking like, you know, kind of lounging around with long hair and talking about Ras Lila. <It's> like, I mean, that was the real early days. But Prabhupada, he did, and in many classes, he said, "Now we all have to join Krishna's dancing party in the spiritual world." So Prabhupada is more merciful. And he's part of the parampara, as Gita says. You have to find somebody who's in the succession from Lord Krishna. And if you serve Srila Prabhupada, if you serve his devotees, then so many people all the way up to Krishna, you're getting the mercy of all of them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gokishor, all that mercy is coming to you if you serve your guru. You serve Srila Prabhupada, you get multiplied mercy, which we need. We need in this day. We're in great need of mercy. Krishna is more pleased if you serve the servant. And, of course, you will get more blessings. And it's also humility. It's a sign of submission if you actually do that. Another reason is that the words of the pure devotee must come true. So Prabhupada said, if he said that, okay, you just try to understand, then Krishna has to honor that. That Prabhupada said that. Okay, I'm trying to understand Krishna. I can't understand. Even Lord Brahma can't understand. Even so many demigods, they cannot understand. How am I going to understand with this small brain? But you just try. So another verse from Prayers of Prahlada Maharaj. "My Lord, you have killed my father Hiranyakashipu and saved me from his sword." He had said very angrily, "If there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall not sever you from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee." So, when Hiranyakashipu met Lord Brahma, he asked for so many benedictions. "Not in the day, not in the night. I will not be killed by any man, nor any animal, nor inside or outside, on the land, in the sky, not by any weapon." And he kept all of those words of Lord Brahma true when he killed Hiranyakashipu. All of them came true. It was not on the land, it was on the lap. Lord Nrisimhadev, not by any weapon, by the nails of Lord Nrisimhadev. Not inside, not outside, it was in the doorway, which is, can be considered not in or not out. Not by man or animal, it was man and animal together. He couldn't have thought of that, you know. Krishna's more intelligent. You cannot cheat Krishna. So then, in saving Prahlad, he also kept true the words of Narada Muni, because Narada Muni's mother was really in anxiety. The demigods captured her. They wanted to kill her baby. And Narada Muni said, "No way. You can't. This baby, he's a Mahabhagavat, great devotee. You cannot kill him. Nobody can kill him. What to speak of you?" So that he had to keep true the words of Narada Muni. Nobody can kill Prahlad. So if the spiritual master says something, it must come true. And Srila Prabhupada said, even in his lecture on that verse of Prahlad, even if he may say something that's not quite right, it might be wrong, Krishna has to fulfill that words, because he thinks, oh, my servant has promised, it must be fulfilled. So, yes, Krishna will have to. When we go back to Godhead, we have to make sure and mention Srila Prabhupada's name. And they'll say, oh, yes, oh, okay, yeah, all right. Yes, Srila Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami, he has said so many things. He has been very merciful to you in this age, so yes, we have to accept you. Yes, name dropping. I met one person in Slovakia who was saying, you know, I don't need a guru, I have my own way. I have my own way to go back to Krishna. I said, yeah, okay. What happens when you go back and they ask, who sent you here? What will you say? I have my own way. They said, we don't know your way. We have our way here. You know, your way doesn't count. Speculation. Speculation doesn't work. Of course, the person who had his own way couldn't follow the regulative principles, so that was part of it, part of his own way. No, we have to follow. We have to follow Srila Prabhupada's way. And then we will be successful. So, Prabhupada said, if the servant of Krishna says, I will take you to Krishna Loka, you must go there. But Krishna cannot do that. So when I was in New Govardhan, one devotee asked me, she heard that in the early days, there was a Rath Yatra. So Rath Yatra is coming up now. The first Rath Yatra in ISKCON. I think it was in San Francisco, I think. And so they had this very, you know, very small, I think it was a truck, some kind of truck. And they brought the deities on the pickup truck. And then they had a kirtan. And then afterwards, all the devotees and many, many hippies, they helped. And they were there. They were all sitting together. These hippies were half-drugged, not devotees. And devotees were sitting there, and these hippies were sitting. And Prabhupada said, so Krishna is so pleased. Each and every one of you are going to go back to Godhead in this life. And the devotees were looking at the hippies and saying, what? How can they go back to God in this life? And, you know, they never saw them again. They just helped, like, with the Rath Yatra one time, and that was it. But if they show up, you know, Krishna's going to have to take care of them. So, yes, it's very, very powerful. Powerful movement, Prabhupada says. Krishna has to honor those words. Yes, it will have to be done. So here Prabhupada says, Krishna cannot do that. He doesn't say very easily. But if a servant says, then he must do. So our philosophy is to please the servant of God. And that will save you from Yamaraj. I think I told that story here, didn't I, about that drunkard who read Prabhupada's book. Maybe some of you were not here. So I guess I'll tell it again. It's worth repeating. That somebody got a Bhagavad Gita, and the person took it home, and his roommate was a drunkard. And the drunkard opened it up, he read one line, and then he threw the book and said, ha, nonsense. But then one day, this drunkard passed out. He was completely finished. And he went to Yamaraj, Lord of Death. So Yamaraj was talking to him, you have been very sinful in this life, you will be punished severely. What are you going to do now? Then he remembered the line he read from Bhagavad Gita. And he said that line from Bhagavad Gita, and he came back to consciousness. He said, wow, what was that? He picked up the book, he read the whole book, found the address, and joined the temple the next day. But then, after about 6 months, he was very austere, you know, brahmachari life, austere, too much austerity. He was saying, I really need a drink. This is too much. He went back out, went to the bar, whole day, night he was drinking, finally time for the bar to close. And the bartender said to him, we're closing now, you have to leave. And he said, so, what are you going to do now? He got so scared, because that's what he emerged, and he ran back to the temple, and it was there ever after. He stayed in the temple, because power of Prabhupada's books. You know, don't leave. Yeah, I mean, I have other stories, you know, where this other devotee, he got initiated, he had his guru, he left, and he got a job in the factory again, hellish, because his guru had said, don't leave, if you leave, you will go to hell. So the devotee, he left, and then he got work in a factory, which he realized, oh yeah, my guru is right, this is hell, this is really hell. This factory is hell. And then, so he left the factory, he's a musician, he got some friends, and he went and they started playing music, and he was living with these musicians, but they were very low class. And one day they were cooking for him, and he looked at them, and they were laughing and laughing, and he saw they had these big utensils in their hand, and he looked and he saw, my God, they look like Yamadutas. And he offered obeisances to the Prabhupada and ran back to the temple. So, don't leave Krishna consciousness. Please try to stay, try to understand Krishna. It's very serious. You may meet the Yamadutas even in this life if you leave Krishna consciousness. Because he was a devotee, he got that vision that where he was actually in hell, like his guru said. Yes, be very careful. Accept the words. Try to understand Krishna. Accept the words of the spiritual master in submission, service, and inquiries. And then we can go back to Godhead in this life. Yeah, I can tell one more story about leaving Krishna consciousness. Another devotee, he was upset because Mangalarti was so early in the morning. I have to get up for Mangalarti. This is really too much. 3:30. 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning. And not only that, in the bathroom, there's no toilet paper. I have to leave. This is too much. So, of course, he got a job, and he was working in a godown. A godown means a warehouse. A warehouse, yeah, I'm thinking Indian. In India, they call it godown. Here, they call it warehouse. Late night shift, of course. And he had to carry tons of paper. He didn't know what kind. It was in these boxes. And so he was on the forklift, shifting these papers. And he was thinking, wow, 2:30 in the morning. This is worse than Mangalarti. I'm awake the whole night over here. And then he pierced one of the boxes, and out came hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. So he thought, oh, Krishna is joking with me. He gave me toilet paper as much as I want. Unlimited supply. So he went back to the temple. Anyway, Krishna has a sense of humor, how he brings devotees back to devotional service. Yeah, so anyway, even it may be a little austere, just tolerate. There's a lot of austerities we have to do being devotees, especially if you live in the temple. A lot of austerities. In Calcutta, when we were living in the temple as grihasthas also, we were separate brahmachari life for the first 12 years in the temple. And and Prabhupada would lecture, he would say, thank you for preaching here, because in Calcutta, he couldn't really stay because his wife was there and he was sannyasi. So he said, thank you for preaching in Calcutta. I cannot stay here. He says, I know you are not even getting milk to drink here. All the milk was contaminated. Even now it's, again, difficult. And so one year he told us, you don't have to do charamasya this year. You're doing enough. We never had milk, to speak of, 1 month in a year. So he said, yes, this year you don't have to do that. So anyway, Prabhupada is very merciful, and we should take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples in the Supuk succession, and submission, service, inquiries, and go back to Godhead in this life. Any questions or comments on these? Yes. Oh, Narottam Das Thakur. Now you tell me. Well, what I remember about Narottam Das Thakur is his... I spoke on his prayer to Nityananda, on Nityananda's appearance day. And he was saying that we should take shelter of Nityananda. If we want to approach Radha and Krishna, we must take shelter of Nityananda. And there's a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jaya Jaya Nityananda Charanaravinda Jahavaite Payu Shirada Govinda. So Narottam, when I think of Narottam, I think more about the prayers that he's given us, the songs that he's given us, that how wonderful they are and how they express the attitude of the devotee. So hold tightly to Nitai's lotus feet. I think another one is that Jayanilo Premadana, that he missed everybody. He missed Lord Chaitanya. He missed everybody. And so he's praying for the mercy of the Vaishnava, Acharya Thakur. And what other songs? Hari Hari Bifale? Is that, I believe that's from Nityananda. I've drunk poison knowingly. I've drunk poison knowingly. That's this Gyanakand and Karmakand, which this purport mentioned. The Gyani is like drinking poison. Knowingly, I did not worship Radha Krishna. Goloka Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtan. The holy name is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. And that perhaps is one of the most famous phrases from a prayer that Prabhupada quotes over and over. Goloka Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtan. And so we are very grateful to Narottam Das Thakur for giving us all these beautiful prayers in the songbook so that we can somehow remember Krishna and understand. Also, he tells us, without Nitai, you can't go to Radha and Krishna. It's very, very important that we know these things. This is one way to understand Krishna, how to do through Nityananda. He's the most merciful. And yes, when I think of Narottam Das Thakur, I don't think so much about his life. I think more about what he left us, the beautiful books, the beautiful prayers, the beautiful songs, the bhajans that he left for us today. What is another song by Narottam Das? Shri Krishna Krishna Prabhu, Prabhu Doya Koro? Oh, yes. Haha Prabhu Nityananda. You are so happy. You are an ocean of happiness. Please, I am unhappy. Please make me happy. He says that also in that Nitai Pada Kamala. That I'm not so happy. Please make me happy. Again, Nitai is there. And the six Goswami is also there. And Advaita. So he prays to Panchatattva, basically, in that song. And they sing it every day in Mayapur, greeting the deities, greeting Panchatattva, this song they sing. And so we have, this is the legacy that Narottam Das Thakur has given us. Through his eyes, through his attitude, we can understand Krishna, and we can go to Krishna. So he's one of those merciful acharyas in our disciplic succession. And he is accessible to us because we have these prayers. This is the most wonderful thing. He is accessible. We can read the prayers every day. We can sing them. And we can remember him and his mercy upon us, that he's showing us how to approach Radha and Krishna. It's very appropriate, relevant for this purport today, that how these pure devotees are showing us how to approach Krishna, how to understand Krishna. So through Nityananda, through the Panchatattva, we can understand Radha and Krishna. Okay, any other? Yes? No. Yes? Yes. Well, there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, that there's a verse, I can't remember now, in Madhya Lila somewhere. Shiva doesn't understand, and Shukadeva understands. Vyasadeva may or may not understand. Shukadeva, he wrote because there was some question there after he wrote the Vedas and Vedanta Sutta that, you made a mistake here. His guru chastised him for writing the Vedas. Can you imagine if you wrote the Vedas and your guru chastises you? because Vedanta Sutra. So yeah, because it's beyond the capability of the demigods. He's the greatest, of course, as a Vaishnava he understands. But as Rudra he doesn't understand. As the incarnation and the mode of ignorance, sometimes he may forget. He got bewildered. He got bewildered by Krishna. If you read 8th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually got bewildered and forgot. In the beginning of Bhagavatam it says, Muhyanti Yatsurya. Even the devas are bewildered. He got bewildered by Mohini Murti incarnation. He got completely bewildered. So he's defeated. He's defeated by Mohini. Of course, he accepted defeat. Yes, I accept defeat. And so, yes, so he could not understand that incarnation for sure. Mohini Murti could not. Lord Chaitanya was beyond his capability to understand. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, is more merciful because Lord Chaitanya, one time, he took the role of Lakshmi. He took the role of basically of Mohini Murti, and he danced in front of all the devotees. And first he said, you know, if you're not completely pure, then don't watch this dance. So Advaita said, okay, I can't watch it. Advaita raised his hand first. And he's also incarnation of Lord Shiva, partial. So then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I give you all benediction that none of you are going to fall down. You'll be okay. I give you a benediction. Everybody in this room is going to be okay watching me dance this. And he danced as everyone, Lakshmi, Rukmini, Radharani, and Durga. One time he was also Durga in that performance. He was dancing as all of the, and even his own mother didn't recognize him. She thought, wow, Lakshmi has come. Even Sachimata didn't recognize Lord Chaitanya. So he's more merciful. Just take shelter of Gonitai if you want protection. Lord Shiva can help you to some extent. But Gonitai is more merciful than Lord Shiva. If he's angry with you, forget it. He'll blast you. He'll burn you to ashes like he did with Cupid. He got angry with Cupid. He burnt him with his glance. So if you make Lord Shiva angry, even his own brother, Bhrigu, made him angry and he almost killed him. If you read Krishna book, his wife had to save Bhrigu Muni. No, it wasn't Bhrigu. It was, it was Bhrigu. Yeah, he was really angry, and his wife had to pacify him. He's a Mahajan. I mean, he's in the list of Mahajans. So if there's anyone who understands, it's Lord Shiva. But there's a limit. Even Lord Brahma, he says, there's a limit to what I understand. Lord Brahma, in his prayers at the end, he says, somebody may say, I know Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know him. I can't understand him. Same as this prayer, he says, I will offer my obeisances till the end of this universe. That's all I can do. And here it says also, all you can do is just offer obeisances. The Brahma says he couldn't understand Shiva. Also, there's a limit to his understanding. Even Anantashesh can't understand. And even Balaram got bewildered in the Leela where he stole the calves and cowboys. Balaram says, you know, who bewildered me here? What is this? How I got bewildered? Even Anantashesha is said in the prayers of Brahma that the scientist may someday be able to count the number of atoms in the earth or in the universe, or they may be able to count the particles of sunshine, or they may be able to count the snowflakes. But they'll never be able to count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And in the purport, our devotees, they say, commentators say that Anantashesha has done it. He's counted all the molecules. He's counted the particles of sunshine. And he's counted all the snowflakes. But still he can't count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And with his 1,000 mouths, he's been describing them non-stop since millions of years, since forever, and still he can't count them. So how can we? If Anantashesh has thousands of heads, we got only one, how are we going to understand? And he doesn't understand, so we're in good company. Yes?
Thirteen chapter.
chapter Bhagavad Gita?
8 to 12.
Process of knowledge, yes. You can't get unalloyed devotional service to the Lord unless you have to go through the spiritual master. So unalloyed devotional service means that you have surrendered to a spiritual master, because you can't get it without. So if unalloyed devotion is the most important thing, then you have to find out, well, how do I get that? You know, how do I get this? And then you have to go, okay, accepting bona fide spiritual master. So they may put them in different, you know, this one's first, this one's second, but actually it goes together. It actually goes together. You can't have unalloyed devotion unless you serve the spiritual master. Yes? Pardon me?
Blind faith and blind,
blind faith. Following and blind faith.
So the words of the spiritual master, we may not be realized.
Right. Right. Okay, so the question is, if you follow the words of the spiritual master, even if you may not understand, can that be called blind faith? Okay, well, I would say that you're following his words, but because you're getting the result, then it's not blind faith. Because the scientific method is that you do an experiment and you get the result. So we are all doing the experiment of chanting Hare Krishna and following the words of the spiritual master. And it's not completely blind, because we're getting results from what we see, how we are improved from our past life. It is an improvement. In one sense you can say it's blind faith or blind following. But at the same time it's not, because you have your free will. You can leave at any time. You don't have to stay. Blind would mean that you have no choice. You have no choice in the matter. They say brainwashing. That means you don't have a choice. You're forced. You're forced. And you follow blindly. But we don't follow blindly. Actually, there's a verse in Bhagavatam, even if you run on the path with your eyes closed, you will still get the result. You will get the, if you follow. So in one sense, somebody could say, well, that's blind following. But actually, in the purport, it's explained that the two eyes are the shastras. And if you don't have the shastras, even if you don't understand the shastras, if you follow the spiritual master, then that will be acceptable. But what I would say blind following is, if you simply follow guru without shastra and sadhu, you must, the guru, what the guru says must be the same as what is in shastra and what the devotees say, the sadhus. So if it is somehow different, then you have to reject, just like Bali Maharaj rejected his guru when his guru said, don't worship Vishnu. So, pardon me?
It's a common sense.
Yeah.
You study the shastra and you compare.
Yeah, you have to, if there's any doubt. See, so we have this. Therefore, we don't follow blindly. We have the systems of checks and balances, guru, sadhu, and shastra. So that eliminates blind following. And there have been cases in the past where devotees in ISKCON, they blindly follow the guru, but then without the shastra and the sadhus. And then they separate from ISKCON, because we don't need ISKCON. The sadhus we don't need, and we just follow this guru. And some people, they only accept shastra without guru. There is a whole movement based on that. And then there's some who only accept the sadhus without guru. You know, we don't need a guru, just, and we don't need the books. We would just chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. I mean, it's not that, it is simple, but it's, you have to be intelligent. That's what it means not to blindly follow. That you can always check if the guru is saying the same thing as in the shastras and the sadhus. So therefore, and if you If you don't, yes. If you're in doubt, then you don't blindly follow. If you have some doubt what the guru told you to do, don't blindly follow. Then you check with the devotees, you check with the scriptures, and make sure it's good.
Mother, in that regards, Prabhupada once said that you can only know your father from your mother.
Uh-huh.
So only the mother can tell the child who is your father. Similarly, only the Shastras can tell who is the Supreme Person.
That's right. Good. Thank you. Only the Shastras can tell you who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why we don't accept all these incarnations of Lord Chaitanya that have come up in the recent years. There's only one Lord Chaitanya, and he's described in the Shastras. And we don't accept all these other ones that aren't in Srimad Bhagavatam. So many incarnations in India. Any other question? Yes?
Song by
Navatam.
Radha Krishna Pranamoy.
Pranamoy, oh. Very beautiful song. And that's very similar similar to our Tulsi song. He's serving, actually it's even more intimate that he's serving Radha and Krishna. How to serve Radha and Krishna as a Manjari, I believe, or Sakhi. So we pray for that every day. In our, if you go to Tulsi Puja, we're praying to be a follower of the gopis of Vrindavan. Yes, he did. He did. He also prayed, glorified Nityananda. He also glorified the wonderful Radha and Krishna. Yes?
You mentioned in devotion life you're going through so many difficulties.
Yes.
If you're going to Harinam all the time, then it's blissful.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Because you hear all service are absolute.
Pardon me?
You hear that all services are absolute.
All services are absolute. Okay. Yeah, actually. I'm just what I said about because Harinam, because it's like you're doing the direct Yuga Dharma, so it's very powerful. And all the other services, you must have chanting along with the other services. With the deity worship, there must be chanting of the holy name. There's five most powerful. And of course, and there's chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, there's deity worship, there's living in the holy Dham, association with devotees. And what's the fifth one? I can't remember. Huh? Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, of course. So in all of these, there is the glorification of the holy name, chanting of the holy name. That's why then, and Lord Chaitanya did say of all the nine, that the chanting the holy name is the most powerful. And it must be there because it is Yuga Dharma, it must be with all the other processes. So that's why I said, of course, the other ones you will also be very happy. I have experience with all of them. I was 7 years, well, I was doing Harinam, and then I was, what was I doing? I was Pujari for 7 years. And you, yeah, I can say the same thing. People will say, oh, how can you live in Calcutta so austere? I was on the floor for 18 years, right? Just on the mat. I said, I'm not in Calcutta. I'm with Radha Govinda. It's the same thing. You do get the same reciprocation, but also I was chanting my 16 rounds, I was reading Bhagavatam at the same time. It's good if you combine them all together. And when we were doing that Harinam, we also had a lot of classes. I remember in Boston, every day we were having classes on all the books. And but I remember when you do Harinam, you really forget your you forget where you are, who you are, forget your body. Yeah, but same with deity worship. I can say the same thing, actually. And then deity worship, association with devotees. What do? You chant Hare Krishna. You do kirtan together. And you read Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the other one. And Bhagavatam is non-different. It's than the holy name. It's Krishna, also incarnation of Krishna in this age. And so it's the same. And you need the two, actually. I would say with the best combination is Kirtaneya Sadahari and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You have to serve the Bhagavatam and then chant. And when you chant, you understand Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said you should, if you read the books, if you chant Hare Krishna, you will be happy. And if you read the books, you will be convinced. So the two go together. Yeah, so yes. I just say that, yeah, you can't, Harinam has to be in everything. And then,
Okay, any other question?
And also you mentioned we have to be very careful not to leave Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
But Krishna is saying that there's no loss of the
emotion. Right, right. Yes, yes.
So
why not leave? He's asking, well, you know, you're saying about not leaving, but Krishna says, well, there's no loss, there's no diminution. But in the meantime, you suffer. When you're away, you suffer like anything. You really, because you've got the higher taste, and then you go out and you're trying to enjoy, but you just can't, you know. Devotees have told me, you just can't enjoy because now you have knowledge. You know it's not good for you, and you really try. And Krishna doesn't let you, you know, also. So many stories. One the brahmachari, he went out there and got a girlfriend, and she invited to her apartment. He walked in, there was a big picture of Krishna. Anyway, it's sometimes very funny, but you do suffer so much. I see, you know, those who leave, they suffer more. It's more painful, you know, because you're really trying too hard. Yeah.
One comment to what you were saying about Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu liked so much that Vedanta Pandit was always asking in the Chota Gopinath temple, what do you want to hear? So he was asking also many times that Mahaprabhu was hearing
Shrimad
Bhagavatam and Prahlad Maharaj.
Jiva and Prahlad, right. Yuva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj were the preferred topics of Lord Chaitanya from Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other questions, comments? Well, you're showing us the example of inquiring. How can we get to the stage of separation from... Well, when Prabhupada left, we got to that stage. Because he was like everything in one. He was like all the six Goswamis, and he was Narottam Das. So if you're ever separated from the devotees, then you can realize more what that means. If you're separated from the temple, if you're separated from devotees... Then, or your spiritual master, if he should leave this planet, then you will understand. It's through the devotees we understand these things. Yep, and they're also associates. Srila Prabhupada was way up there. I'm sure he was one of them or close to them, some associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was or is. Can say he hasn't left. And so also his, we are also his associates, so yes, you will feel that. It's the most painful thing in this world. Now one devotee is leaving her body in Mayapur and everybody is, yeah, but it's really interesting because her husband wrote a letter on Facebook. He said, some of you are praying that she will recover. Yes, she will recover by getting her spiritual body. Some of you are saying, there is a doctor that can help. And he said, the only medicine is holy name. So so he just want all these, he was commenting on the different things that devotees were praying for her. You know, praying that, yeah, anyway, it was one after the other. So it's quite interesting, the attitude of the devotees. And I saw a kirtan posted. I know all these devotees because I visit Mayapur. You know, and everybody, and they were having a very joyful kirtan, and she was there, and she was with her hands, you know, up like this, and she's fasting, actually. She has cancer, and she started fasting, and just trying to speed it up. And that, you know, so it's like, you know, and they're saying, yeah, she's going back to Godhead, and so we're all very happy, and, you know, it's very joyful. It's quite interesting, the attitude of the devotees. Well, of course, after she leaves, there will be feelings of separation. And that we see. We see so many, see devotees leaving their bodies, and then there's that separation. I know when Indra left, and I felt, I was in Sweden, and I couldn't believe it, you know, how well. Because we go every day to Kirtan and in Vrindavan. So yeah, we have that separation. That's how you will experience it. It will be very similar to what Narottama is feeling. Very similar. Okay. So shall we stop here? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And the topic has been changed for the Thursday night seminar. It's going to be Prabhupada Katha. Srila Prabhupada Katha.